anything to earn any sort of or claim any sort of righteousness, but we just want to meet with you, Lord. We want to meet with you. We want to start the day with you. We want to start the day right. Recognize that we need you, Lord. We can't do it without you. And so we just want to start the day with you. Start it right, Lord. And so come, we invite you, Holy Spirit, to speak to us through the word, convict us, bring transformation into our lives, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. We're going to read from Proverbs chapter 23. Get some wisdom. And we're going to read from verses 22 to 28. Okay, so Proverbs 23, starting at verse 22. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who sires a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. Give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways. For a harlot is a deep pit, and an adulterous woman is a narrow well. Surely she lurks as a robber and increases the faithless among men. Amen. Okay, so this is the wisdom literature, and King Solomon wrote this book and compiled it, brought it all together, and the heart of it is to share the wisdom for the later generations, for the young people, for us. And in verse 22, it starts by saying, listen to your father who begot you. So begot, what does that mean? It simply is, it's this word to say, you know, when your parents or somebody has created their offspring. And it says, listen to your father. We probably breezed over this, but this is the key to wisdom. The key to wisdom starts with listening. If you don't listen, you cannot receive wisdom. You can hear wisdom, right? But you need to listen. Listen to the advice, the heart, the instruction. And, you know, again, this is coming. It says, listen to your father who begot you. You got to think, this is King Solomon sharing. This is his plea to his children. Listen. I just got back from a sabbatical. We went to China as a family, and we're spending 24/7 together. We decided to not bring iPads, and the first few days we were fighting like crazy. I think there's always an adjustment period, and that fight was with my son. He's just so you know, he's 8 years old, and at the very heart of it was he wasn't listening, right? We would say stuff to him like, hey, can you... Basically, he loves to bug his sister, but he also loves his sister so much, more than anyone in the world. Like, if it was up to him, he would spend the rest of life with her and marry her. But we know that's not allowed, right? But that's how much he loves her, but he just can't help but bug her. And so he does these things that push her away, and then he wants to hug her, and he's hurt. And we're like, Jonah, listen. If she says stop it, don't do that, you got to stop. And at first we're really nice about it, but then he's doing that to her nonstop. He's doing it to us nonstop when we're like, stop it. And then finally we're like really blunt, and we're like, you got to stop doing that. If you don't listen, people won't like you. You know, we always take it, you'll have no friends. You need to listen. Listening is so important. You know, in Proverbs, it also says, what must happen in the beginning of wisdom? Fear of the Lord. We must have fear of the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord? Again, it's all connected. The fear of the Lord is a recognition that you need God. Without Him, it would bring you such fear. Right? Like, oh, which is, I can't do it without Him. If I make a mistake, oh my gosh, what would happen to our relationship? What would happen to my life? Without Him, I can't do it. And that would, it's like, oh my goodness. Because if you had that, you would listen. Right? If you know you can't do it without somebody, and you can, and only they can do it, you're going to listen. If I need to lead worship, like play music, and I have no experience, if Matt, our worship leader, says, hey, Kenny, I think you should do this, I'm going to listen. Every word he speaks, I'm going to follow 100%. And so, you know, this first verse, it's like we breeze over it so easily. But it says, listen to your father, again, because a reminder, who begot you, who gave you life. And then it says, do not despise your mother when she is old. I guess the reason, I mean, two things. One, do not despise your mother when she is old. It kind of affirms the command, one of the great commandments, which is to honor your mother and father, your parents. But maybe the reason it says, do not despise your mother when she is old, is because quite naturally, that can happen, right? There's a transition in your life which is really peculiar. Your parents go from the ones who take care of you to ones probably who need taking care of, and then they go through the parents themselves. They go through a transition from the ones who give you so much advice, right, and raise you and you listen to, and then it kind of reverses. And so there can be a difficult transition period where I'm sure, like, you know, our parents still mean well, right? And especially if you're older and they're still giving you advice. They're still nagging you. That's what it can feel like. And sometimes we forget. It's all out of love. And we can begin to despise them. Like, we would never say it in our speech because we're smart enough. Oh, no, I need to honor my mother and father. But it's the way we treat them. And, you know, how do you despise someone is you don't listen to them. Right? In one ear, out the other. Your mom's like, hey, Elam, you got it? Yeah, I know. I got it. You don't need to stop telling me that. Is that listening? No, you just hear them, but the instruction, the care, the intention, it goes in one ear, out the other. And I know it can be difficult, right? But maybe sometimes you just have to have a deeper conversation. Like, you know, hey, mom, I know what you mean, but here, let me share how I feel. You know, it could be a dialogue, a conversation. The reason they nag you, and why does any parent nag? The way you've interacted or talked to them is in a way they think you don't understand. That's why they nagged you. And so try to understand, or have them also understand, so that they feel heard. Next it says, buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. So kind of a first-hand reading, buy truth and do not sell it. Kind of a weird thing to say, right? Like, why wouldn't I sell the truth? Isn't truth a good thing? So what it's talking about, again, context, is wisdom. What it's saying is, You know, to walk in wisdom, to listen, to receive wisdom, and that's truth, it costs something. To gain wisdom, in other words, to buy truth, there's a cost. And so, yeah, sometimes listening, especially when it comes to the wisdom of God, it costs something. I think sometimes we forget that. We think as long as we walk in obedience, walk in, you know, the wisdom, there's no cost. We think there's just blessing. But, you know, sometimes with blessing, there's still a cost. Maybe it's a different type of cost. And the reminder here is it costs something. And the reality is, yes, it will cost something. I think of the people who died for Christ. The blessing is the glory, the honor that they were able to do this for the Lord. The cost was their lives, persecution, torture. Maybe it means being righteous and honest in the way you deal with the world. Maybe that means you lose a promotion. You lose out on a deal on money. So to do what's right sometimes costs something. And I watched this show with my kids. It's called Beast Games. I don't know if you guys heard of it. But it's this show where people compete for money. And what's interesting is there's always these events, especially towards the end, where you're basically, if everyone thinks of the greater good and acts honorably, everyone gets the most money possible equally. But if anyone, and basically it's kind of, they set you up like, hey, if you make this choice, you get all the money and they get nothing. And so there's these scenarios where it basically sets up like that. And then people do it. And you can see they get all this money, but as soon as they do it, because they're still in the game, that's what's so awkward. Now you're interacting with other people and you're still competing for even more money, but you've already sold everyone out. You can see they're miserable. It's just a game, right? Everyone is there to win money. It's a game. But even with that, they're racked with guilt. They feel so bad. And how do they... So basically, they can't even enjoy the money that they've won. How do they try to earn that money back? They start to give it away. So they're trying to buy back their conscience. And so that's the whole point. It says, buy truth, do not sell it. Don't sell out, right? You think to not walk in wisdom, to do it your way, the immoral way, you're going to gain, but it's going to be at a loss. What's the point of gaining the world or money or whatever else you desire if you can't even enjoy it? But I know, the problem is we don't walk in wisdom. We walk in the flesh. And so we just do what our flesh wants without really thinking through what is the main goal. And then it says, get wisdom and instruction and understanding. All three of those things are kind of synonymous. In other words, it's all the same, right? But this is what we're after. Wisdom, instruction, understanding. Verse 24, it says, and this is the heart of any parent or a good parent, definitely the heart of God the Father, also Solomon. And it says, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who sires a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. And so we see the heart of a father, and especially God the Father, and hopefully any parent, which is, you know what gives a parent such joy? When their kids walk righteously and walk in wisdom and do the right thing. I know that's not across, but that's how it should be. And I can say, at least with myself, you know, achievements, that's pretty good. Like if my kids achieve something, like great. Like if I don't know, if my daughter is like, becomes the president or, not of like the U.S., but like I'm talking about like of her class, or for example. Or she became, but what I'm actually pleased with is not necessarily her achievement, is what that achievement reflects. Hopefully, which is hard work. In fact, if she achieves something without hard work, it might actually cause me a little worry. Because I'm like, oh no, this is coming too easy. Just getting the prize, that's not the point of life. Or if I see them do something kind, or especially when it comes to their spiritual life and there's a conviction, I don't know where, and it comes from them, that gives me such pleasure. There was a moment like we're traveling and like, you know, one of the things, we traveled all over China, and there's all, one of the things historically that is very Chinese is they have temples. And some of these temples, I don't even know if they're actually like worship temples. It might be just like a tribute to some king or war. And at one point, like one of the parents, I shall not say, decided, we're like, hey, should we go to a temple? Like, it's been here for, that's what people, we gotta do it. And my son was like, no, you worship Buddha. You can't do that. No, and he just refused, like, cannot do it. And I was so proud. I was so proud of him. And I was like, no, we can't, we shouldn't. We can't compromise just because it's what something you should do on a tour, whatever. And so, you know, I can speak, I think for at least myself and, you know, God the Father, when we walk righteously in wisdom, he sees that you make those tough choices where it costs something, it gives him pleasure. And so if you're ever, you know, oh, why should I do the right thing? If you ever need motivate, not just for yourself, but think, is it pleasing to the Lord? And doing the right thing, walking righteously, you know, maybe it's turning the other cheek, not speaking out in anger. When God the Father sees that you do that, oh, I'm so proud that he would do that, such pleasure. And, you know, just to double confirm, verse 25, it says, let your father and mother be glad and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. And so this is double downing, saying, hey, this gives God such pleasure. This is what your parents get such pleasure. And it tells you, let them be glad and let her rejoice that, oh, I'm so glad I gave them life. And so here's a thought. It's good to please your parents. And I say that because sometimes we think it's bad to please our parents. And so, okay, it's not super black and white. Because sometimes we go through life where our goal is to please our parents, to please people. And that can be a problem. And so we're like, hey, I'm not, the purpose of my life isn't to please my parents. And that's true. The problem is when that becomes our goal and our value comes from pleasing our parents. That's a problem. But it's still good to please your parents. As long as God is the primary person that you please, God is where you get your value, but it's a good thing to please your parents. especially when it comes to walking in righteousness and walking in wisdom. And so doing the right thing and pleasing them and you feeling good about it is a good and natural thing. And I think sometimes we go too black or white, so we like almost like suppress that. And so I grew up so rebelliously. And so I was like, I have nothing to prove. I don't please my parents. Maybe in a bad way. And there was a point where, and I was so protective of Janie. I remember, I don't know why, and she thinks it's so, we're so different because Janie's so good with like being considerate of her parents. But I was like so protective of my, with Janie, where I told her, like, we have these, like, really strong boundaries because I think I grew up so rebelliously, where I had this mindset, like, if they said anything negative towards me about Janie, I would disown them. I would just cut them off. That's wrong, by the way. That's not a good attitude. But I think because I had that, it wasn't like I said, it was just over the time of her life. And so at one point, like, I think we're engaged, and I'm so protective of Janie, and my mom goes, hey, can I talk to you about something? It's about Janie. And right away, I'm like, getting ready to disown them if they go there. And my mom goes, hey, I just want you to know, I'm really happy for you and Janie. You chose a wonderful person. I'm proud of you. And I was like, so ready to disown them that it kind of took me aback. And I was like, oh, thank you. And I was kind of like, oh, this is weird. This is kind of a interesting feeling where they're pleased with me and proud of me because of something I did that was good. And I feel good about it. It was almost something I had suppressed so deeply, but it was actually really nice. And you know what? That is in each and every one of us, where we inherently do want the pleasure of our parents, of our God, of God the Father, and it's a good thing to want it, and when it comes, it feels good, but it has to come the right way. And according to Proverbs, it comes by walking in wisdom, doing the right thing, walking righteously. And when you do it, it gives pleasure to, it's kind of a, how do you say? Like, it's something just beautiful that happens, right? It's something we desire. And then when it happens, it feels wonderful. And it's a good thing. As long as your parents aren't the end all, God is the end all. So, let's stop here. Let's stop here. Nikki, thank you, to lead us. And I think our reflection today is our heart. You know, as we're talking about listening, when we're talking about listening, it's a heart matter, right? Basically, is your heart receptive? Is it open? And, you know, verse 26, the following, he says, give me your heart, my son. Give me your heart. It's really your heart. And here's the thing with walking in wisdom in the Lord. It's, again, it's not just hearing the word. It's not just agreeing or I understand why this is good and why this is bad. It's listening. It's taking it into your heart. Fear of the Lord, where you're so desperate for God's ways, you're hanging on His every word to follow His ways. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Is that where your heart is at? Are you aligned with the Lord, where you're ready to listen, where you're desperate for His ways? That your primary desire, even as you're praying and things aren't perfect, is to please the Lord. And so as we worship, just submit your heart to the Lord. offer it to Him, anything that maybe you're holding on to and you've been trying to do in your own way. It could be career, work, it could be relationships, it could be your parents, you know, as we talked about parents. Just say, Lord, I offer to You. I desire Your ways, not my ways, because I recognize Your ways are higher than my ways. And even as you do that, I believe the Lord will be pleased, because you desire His ways, His wisdom. So let's take this time. Gather at the front to pray. If you grab a chair for yourself on the way.